Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Let's turn to Luke chapter 21 and verse 14. I read you one verse of scripture. I am still stuck on the heart tonight. Brother Valentine read several scriptures regarding the heart. This might just be part two of what the Lord has flooded my soul with, and I hope that it helps you tonight in our life application Bible study. Luke 21 and 14, he said, settle it. And that's the title of my sermon tonight, settle it. Settle it, therefore. Where do we need to settle this? With our neighbor? Need to settle it with my boss? I need to settle it in my heart first. You can settle it with your neighbor, never settle it in your heart. You can settle it with your spouse, never settle it in your heart. You can settle it with your pastor, never settle it in your heart. But if you settle it in your heart, you'll settle it with the others. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Glory to God. I come before you today. I thank God you're the judge. My goodness, I'm glad none of these folks I'm preaching to is the judge. I'm glad you're the judge. I'm glad that my enemies aren't my judge. I'm so glad you're my judge, because God, you don't look at what I do. You look at my heart, the thoughts and the intents of my heart. You know. And I'm thankful through your word we can become more like you from the heart level. Own up. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our hearts and minds today. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Settle it, settle it, settle it. Look at your neighbor and say, settle it. Settle it. I remember sometimes my brother and I would be squabbling. My dad would say, settle it. Settle it. I passed coming over here and I looked. They got a pad they built over there to go fix to build something. Now, they don't just plow it and just start building. They let it settle. They hope a rain come. They want adversity to come. They want pressure. They want the heat to come. They want the rain to come. They want something that will settle it. A lot of times we speak about settling the dust. Lord, we don't do anything till the dust settles. Amen. I wonder how many of you tonight have unsettled issues in your life like I do. You have some unsettled, they've never been resolved, they've never been taken care of, no one ever fessed up, no, it seemed like they're just unsettled, and anything that's unsettled, if it does not have closure, it still bothers you. I don't care how, I forgive them, that's good you forgave them, but it was never settled. I'm glad the old account they said was what? Settled. I'm glad he didn't leave an open-ended cross and he's still hanging on the cross. I'm glad he got out of the grave just like he said he would. He settled it. He did exactly what he said he would do. I like when things are settled. Even if I'm wrong, let's settle it. Let's agree to settle it. I'll tell you I'm sorry. Let's repent. Let's do whatever we got to do, but let's settle it. Some people just think, I don't care if you go away. Just don't go away mad. Just go away. I won't settle it and then you can go away. Unsettled issues. Now, how can two walk together unless they settle it? They got to be agreed. You can't walk together if you don't agree. Hallelujah. But it's such a relief in our minds when we settle things. It's like you can really almost forget about it because you settled it. And these unsettled questions, I've heard, I guess, the most common unsettled question I've ever heard in ministry from the people you pastor is, I'm still trying to find my purpose in life. They've never settled what purpose is in their life. And they go almost, if not, all the way to the grave, still not settled on what my purpose is. Wow. Did Jesus come to earth with that, wondering what my purpose is? No, he did not. And people waste years of time and energy, and they'll chase this and chase that and go here and go yonder trying to find something to fulfill your purpose, when your purpose must first be fulfilled in you. It must first be fulfilled in your heart, and then you can settle it. Paul on the road to Damascus thought he had found his purpose. He was a persecutor of Christians and he thought he was doing God's speed, but he found out that God was not satisfied with what he was doing. So he took a bright light while he's on the road to Damascus and struck him down with this bright light and caused blindness to come upon him. Now, Paul, he said, I want you to know, son, it's hard to kick against the pricks. And what did Paul say? Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am the guy you're persecuting. It's hard to kick against a prince. Then Paul said this, Lord, what must I do? I don't want to go another step, another day, another year in my life without purpose. Give me my purpose now, God. Settle it right now. I was wrong. I'm sorry. But if you'll tell me where I need to go from here, he was a purpose-driven man. I never read the book the man wrote, but I heard a lot about it. Anybody read that book, Purpose-Driven? It's your purpose that drives you. The purpose of the cross is what drove him to the cross. If the cross had no purpose, he wouldn't have went. And so when God wants to change your purpose, amen, he gets your attention. And I'm here to tell everybody, God got Paul's attention. And when he said, Lord, what must I do? He did not tell him. He said, you must go to one called Ananias, and there he'll meet you, and he will tell you what you must do. I'm here to tell you, it takes an Ananias to tell you your purpose. Anytime God gets ready to do something new in your life, he gives new people to you to tell you what your next step will be. Even though Ananias was fearful of him, he still taught him what his purpose was. And I don't want to spend, I don't know about you, any more time spinning my wheels. Because I realize, Brother Valentine, I am on the potter's wheel. He is the potter and I am the clay. And I don't want to spend my life spinning and just keep spinning and keep spinning and never fulfill the purpose of why I'm in his hands. I understand the Bible says that the clay was marred in the potter's hands. That's good. It said he made him another vessel. How many other vessels will you be? It wasn't the potter that marred the clay. It was marred in his hands. And so it is. We are in the hands of God. But I don't want to keep having to reinvent my purpose because I mess up. At some point in time, I want him to use me and say, this is a finished work. It is a vessel that I can use. I don't want to just keep spinning all my life. I want to teach you tonight a few things that will help you do things from your heart level and not from a total submissive level. Because you can do things under submission and your heart not be in it. Your heart. He said, you do call me your Lord, no, but you're not, you're far from me. Your hearts are far from me. And so there's a few steps if you ever want to find your purpose in life. The first thing you must do is overcome carnality. Yeah, everybody say carnality. Carnality is a very difficult thing because we live in this flesh and we still have desires of this flesh. But sooner or later, you got to realize that while I live in this flesh, I am not subject to the flesh. I do not serve the flesh. For they that walk in the flesh do serve or mind the things of the flesh. But they that walk in the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. So if your heart is spiritual, you will mind the things of the Spirit. You first have to overcome carnality if you ever want to meet God from a true heart. Amen. It's you must say, Lord, what must I do? Not, Lord, this is what I want to do. There's a big difference in saying, I want to do this, and saying, I'm open to doing whatever you want me to do. Overcoming carnality is important, but I'm here to tell you that when you finally think you've conquered carnality and you finally, some people, they come out of the world and they think, oh, thank God. Whoo, I finally got the Spirit of the Lord. I got it good now. And they find out something called spiritual manipulation. They hardly get in. They're young in the Lord. And when you can manipulate someone's when they're young. They're young in the Lord. And now somebody's going to tell them, this is what you got to do. Oh, you can't make it. If you don't do this, then you can't do this. You're not like I am, and you don't pray like I do. And what happens is you get, the next thing is frustration. Right? The spiritual manipulation is just what it says. It's manipulate. It's when you try to make someone a replica of what you want them to be, even though you're not that either. You ever had anybody try to make you into something that they weren't either? But they wanted you to be what they weren't? Amen. The Bible tells us to abide in our calling wherein we were called. Don't get outside your calling. But if you're ever going to be an Elisha, you have to follow your mentor or your Elijah all the way, the whole distance. And there are people that want to make things out of you that aren't themselves. Elijah said, if you want to be me, then follow me. So pick who you want to be like and follow them. Abide in the calling wherein you were called. Just because, listen close, just because people can do it do not mean they're called to do it. That's exactly right. Because many times they say, oh, they're so spiritual, they can speak in tongues and interpret. It doesn't mean they're called to do it. Oh, they're so spiritual, they have the gift of this. Doesn't mean they're called to do it. Doesn't mean they're called to do it. There was many, he said, you got to be careful. A lot of people are going to say, Lord, Lord. Let me tell you, everybody that says abracadabra is not a magician. And everybody that says, Lord, Lord's not a Christian either. So you have to be careful of manipulation when you come into serving God. And just because somebody says they have a word for you does not mean they're a prophet either, or that word really is for you. Too many times we answer somebody else's line. And God wasn't calling you. He was calling somebody else. Oh, my goodness. Spiritual manipulation is a tough thing. And when you finally think you've overcome the manipulation, then you get into a place I call spiritual frustration, where you finally, like, you're coming into your purpose. You say, hey, man, he has called me to do this. I feel like the Lord has called me. And then you don't find your place. It's kind of irritating that, you know, I got all these thoughts and no places to preach. I've been there. Lord, it's like, don't give me no more. I told my wife one time, don't give me any more. I almost feel like Jeremiah. I'm going to quit reading my Bible. I'm going to quit reading all these scriptures because I get all these thoughts and I got no place to deliver them. It's frustrating. And so you go through this period of frustration, but it says you have need of what after you've done the will of God? Patience. It's very frustrating to be patient, is it not? It's hard to be patient. If you would mute something back here. I don't know. I'm getting a ring from back here somewhere. So I don't know where it's at. And so we need to be patient after we've done the will of the Lord. Jesus waited how many years before he became the minister? 30? Whew. He was King of kings, Lord of lords, God of God. He was everlasting, everlasting. He was the everlasting. He was all these things. He was 30 years old before he ever arrived on the scene. My goodness. And when he finally arrived, the Bible says he was a reader. He wasn't a priest at that time. He was just a reader. And they handed him the book to read. And the Bible says he found the place. He found the place in the book of Isaiah. He said, this is me. I wonder, where are you in the book? You're in the book too. Don't be Judas. Don't be some of the other. Find yourself in the book. He said, this is me. He spoke of me. He hath anointed me, hallelujah, to heal the brokenhearted. He hath anointed me to set at liberty the captive. He hath anointed me. And the Bible says when he got through, he closed the book. Sometimes when you find yourself, close the book. That's who you are. He handed it back to them. And they said all eyes were fastened on him. Then they got mad at him. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people who despise you when you finally come into your purpose. They will. Because when a man fails to fulfill his own destiny, then he gets this Saul spirit about him. And he gets frustration in his own heart. And a man who God has given an opportunity to become something but fails to accomplish it begins to envy every David that comes by. Because David could do with a stone what Saul could not do with a sword. Instead of being happy for him and saying, thank God deliverance has come to Israel, he did it with a stone. But he heard the women singing with tambourines in the streets that Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000. And he began to envy him. Why? He had not fulfilled his purpose. Because anytime you fulfilled your purpose, you want to help other people fulfill their purpose. Anytime you see churches fighting each other over members and all this stuff, they've never fulfilled their purpose. Anytime you fulfill your purpose, you want to help somebody else fulfill their purpose. All criticism goes away. You get content with yourself because you have fulfilled your purpose. The Bible talks about us being as members of the body of Christ. My toe has never told me that I wished I was the eye. And the eye has never told me I wished I was the ear. They're in harmony. And you know what? My eye wants my toe well. My right arm wants my left arm well. because they complement each other and they work with each other. And if we'd ever learned we are members of the body of Christ, then I want that church to prosper, because you know what? If they talk about that church that believes what I believe, they'll talk about me too. I had rather that church prosper and be going and being good, because you know why? That'll help me. But anytime you start fighting other people, it is because you have not fulfilled your purpose. You are not content with who you are. Is this okay tonight? My. When a man fails to meet his destiny, he gets this Saul spirit and he gets frustrated, because every time you get frustrated, you will meet failure. You make quick decisions on long-term plans. It always results in long-term consequences. Oh, Lord, let me move along here. There's only one thing that really settles a person's heart regarding their purpose and their calling. And I want to tell you what it is. If you ever want to be settled, how many of you want to be settled? I'm telling you, I just want to be so settled in my heart and then in my mind and in my mouth and everything about me just settled. You know, if you get in a conflict, you don't want to go talk to people that's not settled. If somebody else is having a problem in their marriage, you don't want to go run to them for a problem in your marriage. You want to go talk to someone who's not having problems. All right? And so you want people settled in your life, but you can't.